Goodbye, everybody. It's okay. I will be speaking about gravitational collapse in the wide class of series, which contain high derivatives and in the more recently proposed so-called ghost-free gravity. I will explain what does it mean. But mainly I will be speaking about collapse of small mass. And I will be using linearized approximation. It will be interesting because I can make some interesting conclusion about existence of the, in general case, mass gap for mini black hole production, which is absent in Einstein series, new feature of this kind of series. So this talk is based on the couple of publications, a recent one, one with my research assistant Andrei Zelnikov, and it was coming student from Brazil, Tiberio Neta, and another I published myself on this subject. So it will be a brief introduction. I describe higher derivative and ghost-free series. In the weak field approximation, I start considering gravitational field of point charge. After I obtain gravitational field for ultra-relativistic particle in this kind of class of series. And finally, I consider using this solution, I construct solution for null shell collapse in higher derivative and ghost-free gravity. And using these exact solutions, I will discuss mass gap for mini black hole production. And if it will be time, I make some brief remarks about possible models and possible ideas about construction of the solution in the strong gravity regime. So first of all, just remind basic thing about black holes. Basically, there exist two different kind of definition of the black hole. One definition is more mathematical. It's definition of the event horizon. So you assume that, as for example, you have asymptotically flat space-time, observer sitting at infinity, and you ask the question, what this observer can see during his lifetime. So the region which is not, which cannot be seen by this observer, is called interior of the black hole. Boundary, usually it's null surface for stationary black hole, for any black holes, it's event horizon. But this definition is very nice suited for mathematical theorems. So if you assume additional, make additional assumptions, you can prove a lot of interesting theorems about black holes. But from physical point of view, maybe not so useful because it means that you can assume that your observer is living infinite amount of time and all the time he is observing whether information came or not. So there is a more physical definition, or more local, quasi-local definition, which is based on the what is known as the apparent horizon. So definition of apparent horizon is the following. So we have gravitational field and consider compact smooth surface. This two-dimensional surface have two orthogonal null rays, and you consider wavefronts emitted from this surface B, orthogonal to it. And this two-dimensional surface is called trapped surface if both of these null surfaces emitted are not expanding. So here you can see different options. So this one is a standard situation with a flat space-time. You have compact surface and inner ingoing wave just coming to the center, so the surface shrinks, and outgoing is expanding. So if you have strong gravitational field, you can have this kind of situation. So outgoing light is not propagating. And this is indication that gravitational field is strong. And inside this black hole, you can have this one. So the region inside B is called trapped region. And the boundary of all trapped region is called apparent horizon. It's a very physical situation which indicates that we have domain with a very strong gravitational field, but this surface not necessarily is null, so basically it may be time-like and space-like, and it's not very convenient, it may be not smooth, so for this reason it's very difficult to work and prove some results for these kind of things. So for classical theory, It's not the problem, because if you have so-called weak energy condition satisfied, you can prove the statement that if trapped horizon exists, outside of this exists event horizon. So for this reason, making these local measurements, you may say that we see the black hole, and this astrophysical black hole, which exists just now, we're observing. But if the weak energy condition is satisfied, you guarantee that nothing can escape from this surface even in the future, because a null energy condition means that you have shrinking of the size of the beam of light, and this can be used for technical proof of this kind of results. Problem arises when you are working with quantum gravity, because when you have, for example, Hawking radiation, positive energy flux going to infinity, negative energy flux going to the black hole interior. So it's passed through the horizon, horizon shrinks, but this flux violate weak energy condition. For this reason, in quantum gravity, if you have trapped surface, you cannot guarantee that there exists event horizon. And models of the black holes are possible such that there exists apparent horizon, but no event horizon. So I will mention a little bit about this at the end, it's not main subject. But there is a very large activity now about these non-singular models of black holes, and some of these models are with a closed apparent horizon, without event horizon, and this may be interesting for solving this information puzzle paradox, that what is inside can finally appear and unitarity will be preserved. So this is some kind of interesting possibility. What I will be speaking has something to do with these kind of ideas, but so basically, when you have trapped surface and null energy condition is satisfied, null energy condition means that stress energy tensor of your fields or matter around possess the property that that you take any null vector and consider this contraction, it's non-negative. So basically, it means that energy and density and pressure is positive. So there is a set of theorems about singularities proved by Penrose and Hawking. And for example, one of the first of theorems was by Penrose. It's a statement that assumes that null energy condition holds. There exists a non-compact connected Cauchy surface. So you have a surface where you can give initial data. And there exists a closed trapped null surface. In this case, the theorem states that either you will have null geodesic incompleteness or closed time-like curves. So closed time-like curves means problem similar for time machine and so on. So it's basically make causality principle working in a very special manner. So physically, we may decide that it's not a very good option. In this case, you have null geodesic incompleteness. It means that for set of null rays, they come to the boundary of our space, infinite affine parameter. It means that theory is incomplete. So in practice, there are well-known examples. So Schwarzschild black hole and Kerr black hole or Reznor-Nasserian black hole. So the singularity is a physical singularity in the following sense. It's not only a place of incompleteness, but place where the curvature infinitely grows. Infinitely growing curvature means infinitely growing tidal force. So for this reason, any finite size object will be destroyed in vicinity of the singularity. It means that you need to cure this problem. This is the main problem of classical general relativity. And Schwarzschild black hole is a space-like singularity, and Reznor-Nasserian and Kerr space-time have time-like singularities, but common property is a curvature growth, and for example, very nice thing, it's Kretschmann scalar, it's square of curvature, this is scalar invariant, and you can test it's growing as a square root of Kretschmann invariant, it grows as a m over r cube for Schwarzschild near vicinity of the singularity. So it becomes infinite. So expectation is that we can think that general relativity is incomplete theory, and it's ultraviolet incomplete. So we need some kind of construction of a more advanced theory, which cures this disease and make it ultraviolet finite and consistent and complete. So basic idea is that as soon as curvature grows to the Planckian value, quantum corrections becomes important. There are two kinds of quantum corrections, particle creation and vacuum polarization. And they modify Einstein equation. It may be also more dramatic changes because gravity is now considered as some kind of emergent theory coming from string theory and from other. So you need to come to different phases with the constituents and so on. So using the classical language about this matrix and so on, you can expect that your singularities will be somehow resolved in this series. So there is MAT, and the idea is that to find out theory which is doing this and consistent, covariant, and to solve the problem of the singularities and the very connected problem of initial singularities in cosmology. They are very, very similar. So suppose we have, so basically I will be speaking about spherically symmetric space-time mainly. And let's make very simple exercise. So consider the center of symmetry of spherically symmetric space-time. And suppose we have spherically symmetric metric, so without obeying any equations. So we can write this general metric in RT coordinates. And we have two functions, f and g, which enter this metric. So we assume that these functions remain finite at I equal to 0 and have this kind of decomposition. And let's calculate square of the curvature using this decomposition. And we find out, so meaning of this function is gradient r square. This is invariant, so you can easily calculate. This is a grr with upper position of indices. It's nothing but gradient square of r. So you can show that square of curvature near r equals 0 behaves as follows. And apparent horizon in spherically symmetric case is the place where this function vanishes. Now you come to the conclusion that as soon as the apparent horizon cross r equals 0, before this, you will have infinite curvature in the vicinity of the center. So it means that if you have apparent horizon, and if you have regulated the center space-time, apparent horizon never crosses it. So it's escape crossing I equal to 0. Because as soon as near center gradient r square will be start to be different from 1, the curvature becomes singular. So it means that if you would like to have some kind of curvature-free models, apparent horizon cannot touch r equals 0. On the other hand, for a large mass black hole, you know that at some distance where Schwarzschild solution is approximation, you have apparent horizon. So apparent horizon must behave like this line, or either be closed or it will be disconnected in future, and you may study different options. So problem of apparent horizon is connected directly with the problem of singularity in the center of the black hole. So it's first remark. Oops. So now let's look at the Schwarzschild metric and discuss it from the point of view of pedestrian. So in some sense, what you have very interesting property that this function g is equal to f. This is a property connected with Birgov theorem. And it's valid for any space-time, static space-time, where stress energy tensor obey property tt component and rr component I equal one to another. So apparent horizon is located at 2gm, metric is static, and apparent horizon coincides with event horizon. Kretschmann invariant is this one. Oh, it must be r to the 6. Sorry, it's for square, r to the 6. Now you may consider the linearized version of Schwarzschild metric, which is valid formally at phi distance. So you can write this one, and you find out that phi is nothing but Newtonian potential. So this is some kind of miracle. So in linearized version, you can prove that it's correct answer, but it's sufficient to put this function down. Newtonian approximation gives you exact result for general relativity. I never understood why it happens, but there is one important point that singularity at I equals 0 of general relativity somehow are related with singularity of scalar field for point mass. So for this reason, natural thing is to study what happens for the, with this potential in different kind of series, and whether this potential is singular or finite. So this is the first interesting exercise. So basically, there exist three or even maybe four connected problems. They're related, so I try to demonstrate their relation. First of all, in linearized gravity, we may ask under which condition we have regular potential of point mass at the center. If this potential is finite, self-energy of point charge remains finite, it's regularized. It's another problem. So another problem is the existence of apparent horizon. So if it's finite at the center and it's proportional to the mass, it's uniformly bounded. And for this reason, you can find out the critical value of mass. Below this mass, there is no apparent horizon and function f everywhere positive. Related problem is the formation of mini black holes. So you can expect that in dynamical problem, something similar happens. So if you make collapse of small mass, you will not obtain a black hole, so there is a mass gap. And the final property, I didn't mention him, but it's trivial, that curvature is regularized when you consider regular potential in the center. So curvature is the second derivative of R, so if potential regular. So now, how to regularize Newtonian potential? So we have solution of Poisson equation. It's three-dimensional flat Laplacian. So the natural way, and this comes from the consideration of regularization of self-energy of charged particles, and has very long history. It's proposed more than 100 years, almost 100 years ago. So you can do the following thing. You can introduce in your theory another field, phi tilde, which is massive, with the same source. Solution for this field is just exponent mu r and r. So general feature that you introduce here some scale parameter because Laplacian is have dimensionality. And you can regularize your field subtracting from this one another one. So the answer will be regular. But it's nothing that what is later becomes known as the Pauli-Wheeler's regularization. So you introduce set of fields together with one and find out, fine-tune the masses of the fields, and some of them must be Gauss with a negative sign, so that you have thing. And you introduce some masses parameters and consider them to be very high. And in the low energy regime, you obtain the previous answer, classical one or quantum one, but near the center or in ultraviolet regime, you obtain regularized expression. So basically, if you make this trivial Pauli-Wheeler's regularization, the finite value for potential will be gm mu, scaling parameter. But there is another way to see the same problem. So you may speak in terms of operators. So we solve this equation, Laplace, and this is a green function operator. And we introduce another green function operator, and the regularized green function is the difference between these two. Now, if you make difference between these kind of operators, you obtain that it's 1 divided by delta, 1 plus delta over mu square. And it means that your regularized field automatically obey higher in derivative equation, higher order in derivative equation. So it's the same to say that I regularize by Pauli-Wheelers, introducing extra fields, some of them Gauss, and to say that our field equation contains higher derivative. So you can see that as soon as you introduce higher derivative is have dimensionality 1/cm or length. So you introduce corresponding mass scale or length scale. So these scales are present in all this kind of high derivative series. Now, if you have high derivative theory, you cure the problem of singularity of Newtonian potential. So you may try to consider analog, relativistic analog, and strong field analog of this kind of gravitational equation. So this will be, I describe this class later of the series which possess this kind of property. But also you can think about the same regularized solution in the following manner. You may apply this green function to the distribution, which is delta function distribution. And as a result, you obtain standard Newtonian equation with Laplace, but for smethers, instead of delta function, you have distribution, so which make a more smooth source. And this is the other way to see, to look at the same regularization. So the same regularization can be seen from different views, Pauli views, high derivative, or smearing the source. So all of them are consistent. Now, what is known about high derivative gravity theory? So high derivative means gravitational theory equation, Einstein equation have two derivatives. So simplest ideas to include square and curvature correction. They naturally arise when you quantize fields in the background of gravity or quantize gravity itself. And the first, I suppose, consideration of this type was done by Weyl almost 100 years ago. He considered it was done by Eddington and very extensive study by Buchdahl. So original idea of this introduction, R square was connected with the idea to unify gravity and electromagnetic field. Later, Utiyama and DeWitt consider this kind of terms in the action, which is analog of Young-Mills action, which is square of the in the strength of the field. Sakharov considered idea of induced gravity, and here when he consider gravity induced from a quantum fluctuation of the constituents, he naturally obtains this Einstein gravity plus R square gravity. Stella make wonderful review of properties of this quadratic and curvature series. So there were two kinds of study, quantum and classical. At the quantum level, he demonstrated that as soon as you include a high and curvature correction, you obtain properties that theory becomes renormalizable, gravitational theory. On the classical level, he demonstrated that in linearized version, immediately if you introduce high derivative correction to the Einstein action, immediately you have ghosts. Ghost means that if you linearize, you have a propagator for physical gravitons and also propagator for massive particles with a negative sign. So later there was formulated idea that you can make theory without ghosts, and recently this subject becomes very fashionable, and it's connected with the papers by Mazumdar and collaborators and Modesta. They're doing in parallel way, and it was applied to cosmology and to black holes, but basically in this kind of application they write equations and after make some assumption and construct some models, so equations are not solved because they're too complicated. So I told that I will be considering these actions and linearized version as the first step to study my problems. How to proceed? So in order to obtain this equation, basically you need to take Einstein term, Einstein-Gilbert term, and it's sufficient to take terms which are quadratic and curvature. The reason is that curvature, so you can consider perturbation at a metric is eta mu plus h mu, and curvature is contains h is the first power already. You need quadratic and curvature theory for linearized gravity. So it's sufficient to start with this kind of theory. And this is operator constructed from derivative, covariant derivative, metric, and so on. This kind of general theory was considered for quantum gravity. They calculated different form factors here, Barvinsky and Wilkowski in 90. So general analysis is was done by Mazumdar, and I will just show you their paper just to explain how you proceed and how you come to the main conclusion about this linearized equation. So when I discussed with my colleagues, there was a question and I was not prepared to answer, so I decided to show how it can be done. So counting the number of arbitrary functions. So basically, they start with this kind of action and looking for quadratic action. So this is operator. So first is that all the differential operator can be moved to the right to make one curvature free using integration by parts. So for this reason, it will be a curvature, some differential operator acting on R. After this, what they have demonstrated that, so this is a, okay, so it's, they did it in the appendix here. So they classify all possible scalars constructed from this and obtain that they have 14 different invariants. And after they use Young identity and find out that general structure is contains only 6 different form factors. So there is a explicitly written covariant derivatives and boxes which are square, so it's scalar operator. And there is a 6 function in general case of this box operator. After so after they consider perturbation of the flat background and find out structure, possible structure of this thing. So one disappear, only 5 arbitrary function of box are present here. But next point is that, you can use Bianchi identity, contracted Bianchi identity, and show that this function are not independent. So there is a 3 constraints between them. So as a result, you obtain 2 left functions which are completely arbitrary. So you can use A and C function of box, and this gives you the most general theory, linear theory with high derivatives. So so this, I repeat this structure. So there is this constraint, 5 function, and 2 of them are arbitrary. So A and C usually will be used as a function. Which and you can classify arbitrary theory in linearized limit by giving this function of box operator. So if you would like to have Einstein gravity in the limit, infrared limit, you put that value of this functions at 0 must be equal to 1. Now, this function may be quite different. And we may consider large variety of series using this formalism. So Einstein gravity, Lagrangian is a scalar curvature. These functions are just 1. Gauss-Bonnet series, you consider Gauss-Bonnet invariant, and you write term arbitrary function of box operator acting on G. And you can show that in linearized version, it's exactly the same functions as in general relativity. So from the point of view of high derivatives in linearized level, they are the same as general relativity. You may have L of R gravity. You expand your Lagrangian with respect to curvatures, and you can find out that your function A is the same as in general relativity, and C is connected with the second derivative of your L Lagrangian. So while gravity, you have R plus C square. In this case, A is operator 1 minus mu square box, and C is this operator. So arbitrary high derivative theory can be written in such a way with this kind of function. So I make some simplification. I can say it must be polynomial, so if it contains high, finite number of derivative. So any polynomial can be decomposed in simple multipliers. So I assume that this eigenfunction, quantities of this are just different and real. So in this case, you have product of this kind of operators and this kind of operators, and it starts with the 1, And when mu regularization go to infinity, you return to Einstein gravity. What is bad with this kind of theory? So they work nice for regularization, but they have a problem which is already discussed earlier. They have ghosts. So what I show you that when you have box and 1 plus box over mu square, it can be decomposed in 1 of the box minus 1 over minus box plus m mu square, and this is a ghost. So, and this kind of series has plenty of ghosts, and when you quantize, it's extra degrees of freedom, which are unphysical, a new one with respect to gravitons, and it may be not a very complete theory, but there is one interesting way how to escape this problem. So, and this so-called ghost-free gravity. Namely, you may do the following. You may consider modification of this propagate in the following way. You can write here any entire function of box. Entire function is a box in complex variable, is a function of the complex variable which doesn't have poles. So, as I remember, there is a theorem that if you write exponent of any polynomial of boxes, it's entire function. So, standard, people using something mu square box. So this function does not have any new poles, and for this reason it's ghost-free. But it's non-local. In order to work with these operators, you need infinite series, and it is a question how to deal with this kind of thing. So I will just describe the scheme how these operators can be treated, we describe properties of the field of point charge and gravitational collapse, and this kind of wide series. So I assume that functions A and C are arbitrary, and after fix them to find out what happens in concrete case.
But this is all at the linearized level?
Sorry?
This is all at the linearized
level? So all my treatment is at linearized level, but people who propose this kind of things, they find out the way how to write covariant version. So you can use curvature, you can use box covariant operator, so they propose this kind of action. The problem is when you would like to consider realistic gravitational collapse, you need to explain computer how to deal with this non-local operator. So it cannot decompose to infinity. It must be some compact natural way to do it. So in linearized way, there is a natural way, and I will show you. So at least it's not stupid and shows that it's quite interesting results. But people study this non-linearized in strong field equation in cosmology and black holes. Results are only partial and basically some kind of models. But it's very interesting that this theory at least must behave good in the linearized level. If not, as I explained, we can expect that singularity will be present in strong field regime. It's very difficult to expect that they will be recognized only in the strong gravity situation. So this is a test, natural test. But using this test, you already produce results about scaling properties. So now I start with the static solutions. When you have a static spherically symmetric solution, you have two functions. So basically, you consider stores. So I use two kinds of approximation. It's linearized and what is called Newtonian approximation. Newtonian approximation means that your stress energy tensor does not contain terms connected with the motion. Velocity much smaller than velocity of light. And in this case, you have two functions of radial variable. So spherical symmetric means that it's a function of R. Standard thing is to write 1 plus 2 phi Newtonian potential and 1 plus, I don't know, 2 psi as another potential. So I especially write it in a very special manner, which will be very useful, and I explain why. So we have two functions, but I parameterize them in such a way. Now, for this kind of problem, you can obtain generalization of Newtonian theory solution. And for function psi, it will be modified Laplace equation, Poisson equation. And for if you find out solution for psi, you can find out solution for phi using these equations. So we focus on this equation first. So solution is finite when it has the following decomposition expansion near the origin. But if it's finite, it's not necessarily regular. So I will show you what does it mean. So you can calculate Kretschmann invariant for this expansion and find out it contains two parts which are singular and also regular part. What is the structure of singular part? It contains psi 1 and psi and phi 1, which enter here with linear terms. But what is interesting is that this quadratic form is positive definite. So for this reason, if you would like not to have singularity, you need to put two conditions, psi 1 and phi 1 are equal to 0. So expansion starts with r square. And this is condition of regularity. So it's convenient for you to use the language that our solution is psi regular when this only occurs. It's not necessary that phi solution is regular as well. So, but if you have a situation with a equal to c, it means that solution is regular. So regular means both coefficient vanishes and psi is a less restricted condition. But basically, this will be sufficient for me for psi. I explain the reason. Now I focus on the equation for psi. So this is operator. So modified operator is Laplace operator, and this is a function, which is either polynomial or exponent. Now I consider inverse operator, basically it's Green function, and I put instead of Laplace some number psi. So in this case, what I will have, it will be this kind of object, 1 divided by psi, it's connected with delta, it's connected with Einstein limit, and this is a function of psi. Now I assume that this function is a Laplace transform of some function f. So these two functions are connected in the direct way in such a way, and this is inverse Laplace transform. So we assume that it happened, and for the classes of series, I consider it really happened. It's so. And now let's look at the operator solution of your equation. So Green function is an operator, which is inverse operator for the field operator. And you can write it using this f very easily as an integral over this parameter s in the Laplace transform. And here stands exponent s delta. It's operator identity. But you can write in terms of function using x representation. And what happens stands here in the x representation is nothing but heat kernel of our box operator, Laplace operator. And heat kernel in flat space time is known. I wrote everything for four-dimensional case, but all of this we generalize and write for any number of dimensions. So it's everything repeated. So the form of special functions will be different, but the derivation practically the same. So now you have a very useful representation for this potential. So if you only know which functions correspond to our operator in this Laplace transform, you can write the answer in terms of this heat kernel things. Or you can write it explicitly in terms of function corresponding to our operator using inverse Laplace transform. Basically, you have explicit representation for any series for potential. So it's a very powerful representation. So higher dimensional gravity, special case when your function is constructed as inverse polynomial. So now there is a Heaviside expansion theorem which gives a statement that corresponding function for this Laplace transform can be written immediately in terms of this exponent. So there must be a parameter s here. Sorry, it's the same parameter as here. And you can answer for the higher derivative gravity, write the potential in this form. In general relativity, this function is just 1, and you have standard Einstein answer. In general case, you have expression which depends on the structure of theory. Now, this is the property of this coefficients P, which is constructed from the masses which enter this expression. And you can find out psi 0, psi 1 of decomposition of your... And you can find out that in order to have regular Newtonian solution, this structure constructed from masses, mass vanishes. So in this case, it will be psi regular. So for ghost-free gravity of this type, this function is trivial also. It's Heaviside step function. And the solution can be written in four-dimensional. It's just Erfurt function of R. And solution automatically regular. Phi is just one half of psi. So in high-dimensional case, you can easily find out these potentials for any number of dimensions. So it means that there exists subset of high derivative series which possess property. This is a relation on the masses, which have the property that Newtonian potential is regular, self-energy is regular, finite. We shall assume later that this condition is satisfied. In ghost-free gravity, it's automatically regular all the time. You don't need any additional assumptions. Now, I would like to come to the problem of collapse. And our first attempt was try to solve this equation, dynamical equation. But heat kernel approach in this, at least in the, our representation, does not work good because box operator is not Laplace operator is negative definite, positive not definite. But box operator does not have this property because t and x directions are different. So there exists some modification which can be used, but problem is that when you consider time-dependent sources, moving sources, these degrees of freedom becomes dynamical, and you need to take care that they are not growing in time. But instead of this, we find out the way that we can solve the problem of collapse starting with Newtonian solution only, not thinking about this, for special class of collapsing matter. It's a spherical symmetric null fluid which falls down to the center. It's like Wadi solution in general relativity. And I explain how you can do it without solving dynamical equation. So we find this trick very helpful, but in order to demonstrate this trick, I need to first to consider another kind of solutions which can be derived from the Newtonian limit. This is the solutions for ultra-relativistic particles which are moving with the velocity of light. So you can start with a Newtonian solution, it's linearized solution, and you can consider this solution from the frame which is moving with respect to this origin with some velocity v. Or just opposite, you're sitting here, and your point particles start moving and moving with a constant velocity. And you may consider what happens when velocity goes to infinity. So energy of the particle will be proportional to gamma factor. And if a mass of the particle is fixed, it goes to infinity. But there exists possibility to fix energy of this particle, and it's so-called Penrose limit. In this limit, you obtain well-defined solution, which is known as the Eichelberg-Sex solution in general relativity. In high dimensions, we obtain solutions which have rotation and, four-dimensional rotating solution. And we call this object gyrotons, which are moving with the speed of light. So I would like to obtain here, describe here the property of this gyroton in arbitrary kind of series from this list I gave earlier. What is nice when you study Penrose limit, the original mass goes to zero, and it's sufficient to use only knowledge about linearized solution of a linearized equation. So it means that solution for this, and it happens in general relativity in four-dimensional, that this solution appears to be obtained from linearized equation is exact solution of stronger Einstein equation. In higher dimension, it's with rotation, it's a little bit more complicated. So how to do it technically? So we consider situation without particles, so situation high dimension and particle relativistic sources we studied with Dimo Fursaev and later with Werner Israel and Andrei Zelnikov. So we write our solution as a flat space-time solution and perturbation. So this is a metric, and dl we write in terms that it's transverse coordinates and coordinate y directed in the direction of motion. After this, I make Boost transformation And I introduce null coordinates, v and u, analog of retarded and advanced time. And lambda coefficients connected with the beta velocity and gamma Lorentz factor. So after this transformation, you can find out that y is connected with u in this way, t is connected with u in this way. Line element, special line elements take this way, so leading term is proportional to gamma square. Flat space time metric is just written in new in null coordinates, this transverse variables, and this is a perturbation. And for perturbation in this limit, we have the following structure. It will be du square and some function phi. And phi is the limit of gamma square psi. Psi is a that particular function which enter my linearized equation in this value, how I prescribed it earlier. So when you take this limit, first you consider Penrose limit when my gamma m is fixed. And when you write this equation, very useful property when you write psi. So maybe return back. You write solution for psi in terms of heat kernel, and heat kernel contains L square. L square contains two parts, one proportional to gamma square, another transverse one. So you'll have a standard exponent of E gamma square U square, and this in this representation, this exponent in the limit when gamma goes to zero, this gives you delta function of U. So it means that when you try to calculate this limit, we can use a representation for psi in terms of heat kernel, and making this limit, we obtain solution for our gyroton moving with velocity of light. And this function of transverse variables is, can be written in terms of this function which enter Laplace transform. So as soon as you know, it will be one. So for Einstein gravity, it's one. Making integral and taking infrared cutoff, you obtain logarithm z, and z is the square of transverse variables. So for this reason, yeah.
So now I'm actually puzzled because I thought that in this limit, it doesn't really matter how many curvature corrections you add, but the solution is always the same. Isn't it the case?
No, I don't know. Okay. You're speaking about different stuff. So there is a solution of Einstein equation like Hilbert-Sexel, and for this solution, curvature invariance becomes zero.
Yeah.
This is property of strong field solution. So I don't consider solution of this theory. I don't know the exact solution.
But it should be true even at the linearized
level. Maybe it's not so trivial. So it may be interesting question. At linearized level, high-end curvature correction does not work anyway. So for this reason, everything reduced to Newtonian limit. So we can discuss this, but maybe it's possible, in this, at least for this, to say something in the strong field regime as well. But maybe because you have non-locality, it's spread it somehow. Maybe there is some kind of other invariance. So it will.
From your formula, it seems that you would be getting different results for even finite numbers.
Yes, I will have certainly different results, but no, it's not strange. So what happens basically, it's very interesting that what happens, you have representation for your green function using f of s, and when you make this limit gamma goes to infinity, take this limit, so you have L square, so it have two parts, transversal part and this part. So one of these variables disappears, so T and U2 is connected with U, this gives this integral. So after you extract this integral, what is left only transverse variables. So you have two less number of dimensions in transverse direction. So for this reason, when you look at this expression, you find out that if you start for potential to solve Laplacian equation with three-dimensional one, for this problem you are solving two-dimensional Laplace equation on this null plane transverse direction. So for this reason, it connected differential operation, but in different variables and different number of dimensions. So for this reason, it's they connected structures, but it's well-defined connection. So if you take this general relativity limit, you obtain Eichelberg-Sachs metric. And this is a parameter of infrared cutoff. It doesn't enter any curvature things. You can gauge it away by coordinate transformation. But it requires, because this is infrared divergent. In high derivative gravity, so this function can be calculated. And the answer is the following. So it's explicit function for this transverse potentials. So it contains Newtonian part and also contains this kind of part. You can consider the expansion. So that will be connected with transverse variables. So expansion for small z near the origin of the instanton will have this structure. And if you have psi regular theory, S2 vanishes. So this function becomes regular at the origin. So singularity in transverse direction is smeared away. So so for this reason, singularity of Newtonian theory and singularity in transverse direction of these ultra-relativistic particles are related. Condition is the same. It must be psi regular. It will be regular for this ultra-relativistic. For ghost-free theory, this function calculated is very simple. In four dimension, you can calculate Abbot number dimension. Four dimension logarithm, some constant. I choose it specially to have this kind of expansion. And this is a elliptic integral of this function. So expansion near the origin will be of this type. So automatically make it finite. Now, what is the origin of our trick? Origin is the following. So I consider linearized theory, and I've had two gyrotons. I make some of the solution. It will be again solution of linearized equation. So what I will do the following clever things. So I consider infinite set of gyrotons. Each gyroton is characterized by null string or null line. And I consider them in a special manner that all these null lines pass through the origin of Minkowski space. In this case, this set of gyrotons fill the null cone, which has vertex at this point. After this, I take distribution over the surface of two-dimensional sphere, which is a section t constant of this distribution, to be uniform. And this gives you uniform density of mass. And as a result, you obtain object which is nothing but null shell, infinitely thin null shell. And now I can obtain metric for infinitely thin null shell in arbitrary set of the series by summing the solutions for gyrotons. In some sense, problem is trivial, but it took us quite a lot of time. I may say that it's about 1 month. What is the problem? Problem is basically technical. So when you write gyroton solution, it's very simple. Has a very simple form in the reference frame connected with gyroton. When we're making this averaging, each of them will be written in its own reference frame. So with scalar function, it's not the problem. But with the tensor function, you have metric, which is tensor. You cannot make summation of tensors in different coordinate frames. You will obtain garbage, and it has no sense. For this reason, first, you need to relate your gyroton reference frame with the Minkowski reference frame and write everything in the Cartesian coordinates of Minkowski space. So this is the first step. And this is some kind of exercise in geometry. But after you have done this, you can consider averaging. So you construct your null shell from gyrotons. And so I told it already. So basically, this is a things you have gyroton, you have Cartesian coordinates, and you have coordinates along gyroton, its parameter u, and transverse directions. And there are two transverse directions, so you have two orthogonal vectors, and you need to, and it's at some spherical angle. So after we have done that, we write everything in the unique Cartesian coordinate system. And after writing this, we can make average of the metric and obtain some reasonable result. So the result is the following. F is a function which comes from gyroton solution. So it's look a little bit strange. So, and if we put logarithm of this for Einstein metric, it doesn't look the correct result. So what we expect for, what we know for the Einstein, solution of Einstein equations. So here we have null cone. It's in falling null matter, outgoing null matter. So inside, field is zero for causality reason. And outside, correction will be 2m over r dt square plus dr square. So it's a linearization of Schwarzschild solution. But it doesn't look like Schwarzschild solution at all. But it's very easy to do two things. First of all, you can calculate curvature or Kretschmann and find out that Kretschmann invariant is the same like for Schwarzschild case. But you can do better. You can find out gauge transformation, which transforms this form of the metric to Schwarzschild one. So it means that all these unpleasant things which comes here can be gauged away, and you return to the standard solution of in Einstein theory. In the high derivative and Gauss free theory, situation more complicated. So this is a result for this logarithm z. So you can write this in the following form. And this is what we expected. Also, you can demonstrate explicitly. So it's one of the tests of this calculation, because they were long, we need some tests. Another, you can calculate distribution of stress energy tensor for this situation with the sources of gyrotons. For each gyroton, it's delta-like distribution. So you can show that it's correct distribution for the null fluid collapse. So we have this kind of test. So now let's apply our solutions for the problem of horizon formation. We can introduce function which characterizes the existence or non-existence of the apparent horizon. It can be constructed from our function in such a way. So in Einstein gravity, you have standard situation when Q is equal to one, and horizon present for any value of mass. So this has very far-going conclusions in general relativity. In general relativity, you don't have mass scale. So it's when you consider collapse of gravitational waves, you find out that it's possible to form black holes of arbitrary small mass. Since there is no mass scale, there is a scaling property. And Chopik obtained and demonstrated that scaling property is present for any theory when you add to gravity a set of massless fields or massless field. So it's immediately result in some kind of similarity of solution and universality of these critical indices and all these kind of things. So in our case, we expect a situation quite different, namely high derivative means presence of some different mass scales which play the role of ultraviolet cutoff. So it gives you some scale, and we can expect that there may be mass gap for the mini black hole formation. But we can prove this, so we can consider, for example, high derivative gravity. So this function g can be written explicitly, and I need to say that it's not static solution. Z is nothing but r square minus t square, so it's very time-dependent solution. So if we consider psi regular fields, it's have behave with that regular one. And you can prove the following, that in the domain outside of the collapsing shell, where t over r less than 1, you can write t in such a way and beta parameter from 0 to 1. And you can write your function, which enter your solution, in such a way. And here you will have a very special combination depending on mass and some universal function. And this universal function for high derivative gravity will be just K1 McDonald function. And you can construct plot of this and find out that it's finite everywhere and restricted, and maximum value is 0.4 for it. So for this reason, this function has upper bound, never, and because you have coefficient m in the mass of the collapsing shell, you can find out the conclusion that if mass multiplied by mu is a characteristic scale parameter, is less than 1, no horizon is present. So you can repeat the same calculation in the ghost-free gravity and obtain the same result. So it means that production of the black hole starts when mass becomes critical. In this case, curvature becomes of order of 1 over mu square, but it's a regime of strong gravity. But if for large mass, you know that apparent horizon exists somewhere, it must be continuous. So it must be forming, but not crossing the singularity. Singularity is not formed. So you expect that in strong gravity regime, apparent horizon will not touch r equals 0, and it may be either closed from topological reason or open. So curvature for the solution. So you can calculate curvature, and only one function, n to which depend on our, it's not a very good notation because this function is different from earlier defined. So Kretschmann invariant vanishes on null shell. However, in general case, it remains singular at I equal to zero. It's mad. Singularity is not 1 over x to the fourth power, but 1 over r square. But it's nevertheless, it's singular. So what is the origin of this? I think that origin is that infinitely thin shell is not physical object. We introduce non-locality. Our shell is constructed from some fields or matter. So if we introduce non-locality on the gravitational side, you need to introduce non-locality in the matter or field side. And you have some characteristic length. So you have no rights to consider shells which are infinitely thin. So there must be spreading of shell, at least at the distance of mu. So what happens when you have not infinitely thin, but finite thick shell? Again, in the linearized level, you can obtain solution for this adding solution for infinitely thin shell. So you consider one null cone, another null cone which cross the same special point at later moment of time, another earlier, and you consider continuous distribution of these null cones and make additional average. So simplest way, you may assume that each of them have the same mass. In this case, you will have a situation with the shell. And in your space-time, you'll have collapsing null fluid. At far distance, it will be just a Wadi solution. In linearized case, there is a expanding shell, and it will be outgoing Wadi solution, linearized one. So it will be domain outside of this shell, so it will be zero field flat space-time. And near singularity, it will be a regime which we can study. So we can make this averaging, double averaging for the metric. Answer is, can be written in terms of all our functions. And finally, the result is the following, that if S2 is equal to zero, it's regularized psi regular solution. Curvature is finite, as we expected. M dot is a change of mass per unit of time. So result is that for psi regular series in higher derivative gravity, square of curvature remains finite at the origin. In the ghost free, it's also finite, and is this expression for the curvature. In both cases, when this parameter is small, linear perturbation can be uniformly described as a correction, and a curvature will be regularized and regular, and event horizon or apparent horizon does not arise. So for this reason, you may consider, you may believe the linearized solution in this case, because higher order solution, which contain corrections, which have higher order, and everything, if everything is already regular and small in the linearized value, higher order corrections, you may assume that they are not important for this kind of problems. So for this reason, there is some kind of a robust prediction. So anytime when you include high derivatives, you introduce new scale. When you try to escape ghosts, you can introduce mass scale in the same manner. As soon as you have this mass scale and make Newtonian solution regular, or psi regular in my case, you can guarantee that for the collapse, you obtain regular solution. For distributed mass collapse, it will be regular everywhere. And apparent horizon is not formed until your mass becomes large. So this means that at least there are indication that structure of general solution with a strong gravity may be expected as follows. So you have for large mass something regime where this gravitational field looks like Schwarzschild 1. There is a transition layer where curvature becomes of the Planckian order. But apparent horizon, which exists here, does not touch center if we would like to have singularity free or finite curvature series. So in this case, we have models where we know behavior, possible behavior of apparent horizon. So I have no time. I just finish that there is a different kind of models discussed, but So this is some kind of conclusion. So maybe I'll just summarize and final remark will be very short. So there is a class of gravitational series which contain higher than two derivatives. And among them, there is a subclass of series which contain infinite number of derivatives, which are non-local. In this subclass, you may obtain no ghost situation. Very interesting question about behavior of this time series for time-dependent sources. For example, if you have accelerated point particle, how it emits energy and so on. Problem may be with that this form is not positive definite, so it may be something special for time direction. But in principle, you may consider arbitrary function here. You may consider box square, which have better behavior. So using this kind of linearized series, we find out that we can study them in unified manner using Laplace transform. And all information about our solution is contained in this function f small, which is uniquely defined by our theory in linearized level. So this function allows us to write down solution explicitly for static point-like sources, for ultra-relativistic sources, and finally for the shell collapse problem. And all these three problems in linearized level are connected, and you can obtain definite answer studying these properties of this one function. So in strong case, strong gravity case, there is a lot of attempts and it's subject of different talks and I have no time. But one of the leading idea here is the following. It was proposed by Markov in 82, 84. Later, independently, it was proposed by Polchinski in 89. It's idea, trivial idea in some sense that curvature in strong field regime never grows higher than Planckian curvature. So from this case, you know a little bit about structured general solution. So in spherically symmetric case, apparent horizon cannot cross I equals zero. It's either closed or unlimited. And this kind of models were proposed. Models means it's not solution of some well-defined equations. It's discussing options, possibilities, which have this kind of regularity property. One of them was done in 81 with Gregory Volkovysky. You have collapse, closed apparent horizon, and the information coming to the black holes finally go away. So it's one kind, one class of this solution. Later it was constructed many models of this type. And another kind of model that was proposed in our paper with Mukhanov and Markov about possibility to creation worlds in universes inside the black hole. So we assume that there is some transition, and after you have the sitter-like situation, it's also make everything regular, and you have formation of the black hole. So basically, in this case, difference is that in first case, horizon is closed. In other, horizon is open, exists, and disappears in some kind of final jump. So there is a variety of papers on this subject. It's quite interesting discussing, but it's very interesting now to start with some given theory of ghost-free gravity, with some given Lagrangian, try to find out which kind of scenario is valid, and try to find out a possibility to study the options for the final state of black hole interior. So we hope that it will be a regular one, but what happens with this interior, either it explodes to our space and we have this kind of no black hole situation. It will be apparent horizon, but not event horizon. Or we'll have some kind of situation when we have some bubble of baby universe inside this kind of. And this is already a decision between these two different classes of model can be done using exact equations. So it's interesting time that you have equations, they're complicated. You have very nice property, at least in the nice level. And you have different options in the strong field regime. It's interesting to find out, to have some information to extract from this equation, to obtain more definite answer to this complicated question about fate of singularities inside the black hole. So I use more than it's allowed. So thank you very much. Gravitational waves, certainly it's possible to do in the linearized regime, certainly it's, but in some sense it's trivial. So you may think about this propagated scalar one. So scalar, or just equation for free waves is this one. But since you have this property, box operator on the onth shell, doesn't regularize anything. It's not important in linearized level. So if solution, this is a zero mode of box operator, this function of boxes just becomes one and that's all. So for this reason, at least in linearized level, gravitational waves remain the same. So, and for this reason, it's interesting, not gravitational waves, but radiation of gravitational waves or field of fast moving objects. So all the solution I consider here, static solution, they are off-shell solution. They're created by mass. So in this case, time derivative are not important, and it's not solution of, it's not zero modes of this operator. So for this reason, for off-shell solution, it works like a regulator, but for on-shell solution, it looks like it doesn't matter. So what happens in strong field regime, I don't know, but you may expect something similar, I don't know. So for this reason, maybe you can find out class of solution, at least of this strong field series, for this reason, because boxes, operators you expect are not important. But it's not so interesting, it's interesting just off-shell behavior. So for where they have the property of regulator, so it's.
So when you compose these gyratons to make a finite pulse thing, isn't it the case that actually you kill the energy of these things infinitesimally? That if you have the, if it's like a smooth distribution.
Okay, so a much simpler question is that if you have point source and you can see the source distributed along the finite interval, do you kill the mass? No, you make it smooth distributed. So instead of delta function, you can see the continuous function. So for this reason, you're doing the same thing here. So
but the delta of mass goes to zero. So if you collide these two pulses, keeping the total energy fixed, then actually you sort of kill whatever the energy is focusing at the center.
No. So this question, if you address in the general relativity, you have situations that when they're coming, this energy grows, energy density grows, and you come to the strong field regime. For this reason, you may expect that when you have collision of two gyratons, you come to the regime when they're very close, nonlinear effects are important. In this kind of situation, when you have regularization in transverse direction, you can believe linearized approximation as soon as mass of them is not large. So it's regularized. So I don't kill anything. So what I do, I distribute, instead of delta function, I consider a real function, continuous one, to make thick shell. And I think that when you consider collision of two gyratons at one point, you can believe this linearized gravity if the solutions are regular. So they can, some kind of asymptotically free.
So basically, you're saying if I had just the Einstein theory and I did the same thing, I would produce a singularity.
Yeah, but this is singularity of this type. It's, you have this. You may say that near the origin or near the point of collision of two gyrotons, you cannot believe properties of linearized gravity because curvature becomes high. You need to include everything, and this becomes a complicated problem which can be done by computer. Here, there is a regime when particles are very close one to another, at some small distance, smaller than 1/μ, they have properties that gravity becomes asymptotically free, and this collision for very high energy does not feel. So you may use only this kind of linearized gravity to describe it. At least it's open possibility. It's better situation than in Einstein gravity.